It doesn't go away, does it? The question. The question is ever with us. Why do the wicked prosper? Why is the world not fairer? Why do innocent people suffer? Where is God when you need him? Why does he not do something to even things out, to make things right? If we were in charge, we would do things differently. Is it God who allows such imbalances and injustices to persist, actually worth believing in? If God is all-powerful, why does he stand idly by and let children die, disasters unfold, misery persist? All good questions, and not at all academic. I remember the time I spent over at the grammar school in Dunbar discussing with the 5th and 6th year higher religious studies students, not least when we debated the problem of God and evil. It was a heated and honest debate. They were passionate and articulate, and they pummeled away like Rocky. From time to time, I was on the ropes. They were real questions they were asking. It was challenging, provocative, often deeply felt, and coming from a genuine perplexity and pain, absolutely grounded in what they saw in the world and what they experienced in their own story. Plenty of people asking questions like that. Though to hear us, sometimes you'd think no one had ever thought of all this before now. As if we were the first people to detect the cussedness and lopsidedness in things. As if the ones who came before us somehow hadn't noticed that everything was cockeyed and shockingly anarchic, with no steadying hand on the tiller, or so it would seem. And yet, as we can see from Habakkuk's feeling of powerless outrage, his scream that fills the void, the question, the issue, the elephant in the room that we all know is there but fear to acknowledge, suffering, injustice, the insanity of an Alice in Wonderland-style moral universe, well, that's been around for a long, long time. And men and women of faith have been scratching their heads and wrenching their hearts over it since the very start, since faith came to being. And back then, they no less than we wanted nothing to do with pat answers, simplistic tripe, pious cliches that require us to stand on our heads, contort our brains, close our eyes, put our fingers in our ears, take refuge in intellectual dishonesty. Back then, they wanted answers too, these ancient thinkers, those believers of long ago. They would not be fobbed off with trite religious slogans. They wanted answers. They demanded real answers to searing, searching, complex questions. The kind of questions that went right to the guts of their experience, their very existence, and certainly to the very core of their faith. Where are you, God, when bad people do well, the meek inherit a kick in the teeth, and the men of violence make utter fools of those who would be peacemakers? Where are you, God? Have you gone deaf? Can you not hear the cry of the oppressed? Have you nothing to say to those who walk so carelessly all over your laws and crush your people and spit with bravado in the face of your truth? There have been simplistic solutions offered. There are whole religions based on a quite simple response to the problem of evil. But we may feel they raise more issues than they solve. Some suggest that indeed there is, in fact, a balance at work, and that what you sow, you reap. And what you sow in this life, you reap next time around, when you make your return visit to this planet in your reincarnated form. And all the bad stuff you built up previously hits your life, and the stench of sewage swirls around your experience, and this is the way your bad karma that you have so carelessly accumulated in your previous life comes back to bite you, comes back to haunt you. If only you'd been a better person back then, last time around, none of this misery would have landed on your head, they say. Now you just have to grin and bear it and try to do better, so that next time will be different. When you look at the horror stories that unfold across the globe, and recognise the part we all play in the economic injustices and the global crisis points, our responsibility for so much of the hurts and unfairness, then next time around doesn't look too pretty for most people in most places. For every Mother Teresa, there are 10,000 bullies, cheats, thieves, heartless, self-centred, pleasure-obsessed, immoral, greedy individuals, which would suggest a pretty bleak time ahead next time around for the majority, and for those who will have to share the world with them. If this is how it goes, how it all unfolds, that in our next reincarnation you get what you deserve, God help us all. And it's a worldview, a religious expression, that requires largely that we leave the suffering people to deal with their grim situation by themselves, so that they can dig themselves out of this hole of their own making, in the hope of a better deal next time around. And if we presume to give them a hand, if we reach out to them in compassion, we sort of blur the categories, confuse the issue. Best leave them to sort things out for themselves and to get on with making sure we don't end up crushed under the wheels of circumstance, broken by tragedy, wounded by disease in our next incarnation because we made such a hash of this one. Cause and effect writ large across the pages of people's stories, suffering a just punishment for past demeanours. Well, that's one explanation, one response. It's a theory. And certainly there lingers on in the minds of many people a kind of superstitious assumption that if and when bad things happen to them, when tragedy strikes, illness defeats their best efforts, then they must have done something to deserve this. That's what people say. They must have done something to deserve this. Their image is of a judgmental God who finds reasons to dump stuff on us because we've failed in some way to measure up, to deliver on goodness or life or compassion. And therefore the bad stuff that happens to good people is simply divine retribution for some ancient or recent dereliction. This is a tragic, misleading, self-destructive notion. And the cry of innocent pain that we find in the scriptures from the Psalms, Habakkuk, the book of Job and elsewhere and writ large in the New Testament repudiates with passion the naive connection that people sometimes make between bad stuff happening and some moral failure by an individual as being the deserved root cause of their catastrophe. That isn't how it is, or what it's about, and it's a cruel burden for an already broken individual to carry if they assume to themselves and blame on their own failure, sin or weakness this terrible tragedy that has rocked and ruined their life. And we know just from looking around, clearly, that it isn't so. It's not how the world is. Countless career criminals enjoy an enviable lifestyle of wealth and comfort. Insane dictators down the ages, and as we know still today, with hands bloodied from the most impossible cruelties done to whole nations, settle back in their palaces and their villas in the mountains, waited on hand and foot with every conceivable luxury, while down in the valleys, the heroes and the heroines eke out a pathetic living, or lie on a cell floor, brutalised and sick. Good men and women who have lived lives of courage and sacrifice die in misery and the forgotten darkness of obscurity. So it clearly has nothing to do with good people being rewarded and bad people being punished. A significant wodge of the bad people in the world have done very nicely, thank you. And great swathes of good-hearted ordinary folk have found their lives spilled out like a suitcase on the railway platform, in chaos, embarrassment and distress. However it works, this mysterious existence of ours, and however God operates, it would seem on the face of it to have nothing to do with rewards and punishments in the here and now, not in any obvious way at any rate. we can draw some comfort from the inexorable logic of goodness, whereby no man or woman who lives with integrity and by the highest standards of compassion and truth is ever going to wish that they had lived otherwise. They will know in their heart that they are choosing the right, the truly human option, and they will have no regrets that they chose honesty instead of deceit, trust rather than betrayal, a life of quiet service and neighbourliness rather than an existence of luxurious, self-centred shallowness and excess. And it's not a made-up, manufactured truth to assert that living such a life by those lights brings an inner contentment, a sense of worth, a conviction that you have been on the right road, heading towards the right direction. And so if you never get what the bad guys got, in truth, you didn't really want it. Not at that price. Not if it meant compromising your principles, bringing your life into disrepute, turning your back on God and his way. You look back over the choices you made in your life, the fundamental choice you made to be this kind of person rather than that, and you have no regrets. You have no regrets. You might not have the yacht in Monaco, but you are who you are. You have lived as you have lived by the values you have chosen, and there are no regrets. Well, the individual who has opted for gaining the whole world and is quite prepared to lose their own soul in the process will find, if they peer into the darkness, that instead of making something beautiful of themselves, of their possibility, they have created something foul, ugly, and unworthy. They have an external reward, but there is an internal consequence. And what can an individual give in return for their soul? The Faustian bargain once struck has to be paid for. And in the end, it looks like a raw deal. Now, while that might help us feel a little better about some of the injustices endemic within our social and economic structures, it by no means satisfies our concerns about the wider implications of what can sometimes seem to be an absentee God, or an indifferent God, or a just plain unfair God in nominal charge of a disordered and chaotic world. In the wider context of a world that can sometimes hit us right between the eyes in delinquent and destructive ways, we join our voices with those of the Bible who wonder, what is going on? Why is God silent? Why does he not do something to make things right, or at least better? The ancient prophet rehearses his concerns. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not listen, or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me, strife and contention arise. And so the law becomes slack and justice never prevails. The wicked surround the righteous, therefore judgment comes forth perverted. Fair comment, Habakkuk. It seems that it's not just from the standpoint of individuals that the world seems cockeyed and crazy, but the very structures, the forces that move it, the energies that drive it, these are not weighted in favour of goodness and truth, of justice and peace. And the world God supposedly made whirls around in a chaotic maelstrom of violence, disaster and unfairness, thrashing around uncontrollably like a chain that has snapped and is flailing loose, crazy and dangerous. Just read your paper. And where is God, who's supposed to be in control? And what's he going to do about it? Nothing much, it would seem. And if this is the case, what are those who believe in him or want to believe in him supposed to do in order to cope with this mad, 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 mad world? Well, you're not going to like Habakkuk's answer. His answer is, wait, wait. I will stand at my watchpost and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me, and what he will answer concerning my complaint. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them. But the righteous live by their faith. So, it would seem, have faith in God's intention and his ultimate capacity to right the wrongs. Be strong in your assurance that whatever happens, if you are living the right way, then you are living the right way. Though it will not assure you of safe passage in the storm, and you know that as well as I do, you will still know that to serve God, to love him and to live for him, regardless of there being a payoff, a benefit or not, you will still know that this is the truth to bet your life on. To stake your whole vision of who you are and what life is for and what matters and what makes us human, in spite of the seeming insanities, injustices, miscarriages of justice, inequities that abound, dark and terrible events that unfold, in spite of the frustrations and the questions and the stuff we don't know the answer to. On this you can stake your life, says the prophet Habakkuk. There is nothing out there that is bigger than God and his purposes. And if you are his and he is yours, wait and see. This is the right choice. You're making the best choice. By no means is it the only choice, but certainly the best. Wait and see. If it seems a long time coming, keep believing in him and take some comfort from the fact, from the key and crucial reality that you can detect, even in the midst of the alarms and confusions, the people who seem to know what life is for and how best to live it, how to see the world in its beauty, magic and surprise, how to form relationships of depth, loyalty and richness, how to value themselves and other people, people who get out beyond the ramparts of their self-centeredness to embrace others and celebrate life, are the people who seem to have got the hang of it, and whose faith in God gives substance, meaning, and trust in God's future. The proud, the arrogant, the ones who will push everyone else out of their way in their drive to success, to accumulation, to mindless pleasure-seeking, or who suffocate their souls with smart-aleck cynicism, they are the ones whose inner spirit is unsettled, asleep, or dead. Which do we want to be? Who do we want to be?